Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. To mark the feast day of St. Gregory the Great, which falls each year on September the 3rd, I asked Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, to join me on the Caelian Hill, a place where St. Gregory is remembered in a special way, and one where Pope Benedict XVI visited back in March this year to take part in Vespers together with the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. The occasion coincided with celebrations in this Camaldolese monastery to mark the founding of their order in 1012, a monastery where, since the Second Vatican Council, strong ties of Canterbury and the Anglican Communion have developed. Ties that began centuries earlier with Gregory the Great, who at the end of the 6th century dispatched from here St. Augustine on his mission to convert England. Attached to the monastery and rising on top of an elegant flight of steps, there now stands the Roman Church of San Gregorio Magno, dedicated to Gregory the Great by a later Pope, Gregory II. Today, with the exception of the Cosmatesque pavement and some ancient columns, the church is an example of Baroque splendour. But why don't you join me in this church as I visit with our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis.
This is where St. Gregory once lived. There's his cell, and what's left at the moment is a marble throne where he used to sit. Mm. Very uncomfortable looking. In white marble.
It reminds me a little bit of the one, the Attila, the seat of Attila up on the island of Torcello, which he was supposed to have sat on. Attila the Hun, which would be. This is a smaller seat, so Gregory the Great must have been quite a small man. This church itself was built on the site of a monastery where Gregory the Great lived, and it was built by Pope Gregory II, this actual church. So elements of, let's say, of the older part of the church, are still here, like, and the area there over to the right of the main altar, you have a little chapel, and in that chapel there's a 15th century altar with little bas-reliefs showing St. Gregory saying Mass. To the right of it you have a little room with sort of ornate, kind of Renaissance style, gold and pale grey decoration, little room where he used to sleep. This is according to tradition. And then nearby there are three little sanctuaries which don't form part of this church anymore. They're controlled by the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore, St. Mary Majors. But the influence of Gregory is over there as well, because one of the chapels is dedicated to him. The other chapel is dedicated to his mother, Sylvia, and the other chapel is dedicated to St. Andrew, because in effect the name of this church is really St. Andrew, St. Gregory the Great on the Caelian Hill. And going back to the tradition that Gregory the Great had of serving the poor, he used to serve every day to 12 people, food, and the table still remains in one of the sanctuaries. And again, if you think about this tradition of feeding the poor and helping the needy, we just realise and think that the Little Sisters of Mother Teresa have a place just around at the back of this convent, so they've taken over a good section of it, where they also minister to the poor. So to think that from the time of Gregory the Great, going back to the early centuries, and to our century now, where you have Mother Teresa's nuns helping the poor, there's a great continuation of charity on the hill of the Caelio. It makes you think also about the tradition of St. Giovanni and Paolo nearby, a place of Christian worship going back way, way back, about 2,000 years. So this area here tends to focus and keep to its chest, let's say, you know, really dear to its heart, these traditions of clear and simple Christian worship with martyrdom and the emphasis on martyrs. And then here in this particular Church of San Gregorio Magno, St. Gregory the Great, the tradition of charity and helping the poor and serving them by giving them food.
St. Gregory was also the Pope who sent St. Augustine to England.
Yes, he did. St. Augustine being sent to England to convert England to Christianity. So from this point of view, this particular church has an importance for England. And one of the emissaries sent by Henry VIII here to ask for permission from the Pope for Henry VIII's successive marriage, he remained here and he's buried in the little cortile, and the courtyard in front of the church. In front of the actual church, they built a type of atrium, and it's like a little courtyard, a smaller version of the one that you have in St. Paul's outside the walls. More intimate, and again, it has a lot of little tombs around. and the facade, which is quite imposing because when you go around Rome, you tend to see it from a distance, was done by Soria, who was the same man who did Santa Maria della Vittoria, where you have St. Teresa in Ecstasy by Bernini. It's his best work, a big, imposing church that just stands out in the middle of the trees and the greenery.
And these white steps going up.
In fact, they're large and
very sort of grand, stately steps.
Yeah, because I think he tried to give it a sense of importance. Because if you look across from the entrance of the church to the other side, you see all the buildings relating to early pagan Rome.
Palatine Hill.
And Palatine.
And warm thanks there go to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, for showing us round the church of San Gregorio Magno. And in particular for discovering something about Gregory the Great's throne. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.